Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show.
Today's guest is Vince Russell, lead developer at Hawes & Curtis. I think engineering, it's just pretty much impossible a lot of the time to get the product where it needs to be. You always could do with another pair of hands, couldn't you? It inevitably seems that no matter what point you get a project to, there's always more to be done in it. I mean, from a non-technical perspective, it's probably quite difficult to understand that, but I suppose from a technical perspective, it's very easy to see that, right?
Yeah, I think there's so many ways you can do things sometimes that, sometimes you feel like you have to go down a certain path just based on the times. So, you said about the deadlines, if you get to a deadline and you think, I can't put this out, it's just not ready, then I guess you've got to look at what you can do to get it out. And sometimes that takes you down a path where you hack things about, or just a slight thing to get it out. I want to revisit it later.
How much, we were just talking about that, like how much consulting goes into a project and how much are you kind of allowed to have input post-production, or is it just kind of waiting for feedback and doing it? Or is there kind of sometimes an argument to be made from the development standpoint?
I think from our point of view, we're quite lucky in that we do get a lot of input and we do get a bit of freedom to make changes where we see fit. We lean on the other guys to make sure that is aligned with the business. We hope for new designs coming through that they've already been approved, if you like. And we can bring things up during that process as we're developing, as we're evolving. We might say, this isn't quite working here. What about this? Or could you revisit that? So we've got that capability. We can feedback. But we do prefer that any of that kind of to and fro, if you like, between the design and the marketing and the other departments has already been done before it gets to us. Because as soon as we start, if the direction shifts massively, then it does cause us a lot of problems.
Yeah. And is that something that you see as, from a leadership perspective, being able to liaise effectively is a big part of that role?
I think so, yeah. I think also even as a developer, I think if you're seeing something that's not quite right and you carry on regardless, that's not the best approach. I do feel that if you do see something you think isn't correct, you have to raise it and state your case. And then whatever the decision is there, you accept it. But I do believe that the interaction between, say, us and me and the other departments is key. And just to get their vision across to us and get our vision back to them, what we do find is sometimes the clock starts ticking, if you like, on a project when we get it. But then as soon as any amendments come through, the clock is still ticking sometimes. But if we're waiting for them, we have to make it understood that they're taking our time here and we need them to make a decision so we can progress.
When you look at, I saw something quite interesting the other day. When you look at a developer's work day and I've read a little bit about it, but don't fundamentally understand the idea of kind of flow and, being in that state of flow. But it seems to crop up quite a lot when you talk about developers and engineers in general. How important is it to get in that flow state?
Yeah, I think sometimes when you get a task, you're not sure how you're going to approach it from the outset, and there's various options or approaches you could take. So by being able to take some time and plan that right up front, knowing exactly what you're going to do going in, really helps. And I think if you don't have a continuous amount of time, if you can't stick your headphones in for a couple of hours and then just progress through and get to that end, every stoppage will add X number of minutes to your time and will just interrupt your concentration. So you might be just about to crack the to crack what you're doing, and then your train of thought is lost by for whatever reason, and getting back on there it can be quite tough. Fine, but those days where you can just put your headphones in, get your head down, and get through tasks, they're brilliant. They're fantastic, and they really help.
Yeah, it seems like it's talked about a lot in kind of the development world about people trying to get into that state. It's not too dissimilar from most lines of work, to be fair, but it seems that it plays like a particular importance in the development world. And is that just because, you know, the projects, there's no kind of linear path to doing things? It's a lot of problem solving, and obviously that requires your absolute like full attention, where it's not a task where you're going through the motions. There typically isn't too many of those tasks in development, right? And so that's why the kind of need to be working in that kind of state is kind of required.
Yeah, and there's a lot of techniques that kind of say that's a really good way of doing things, and turn off your emails, turn off distractions. I think it's quite a talked about thing at the moment, certainly. I think there are times when you expect the distractions, and for me personally, I just don't start the sort of tasks that I need to focus on in those times. I will just accept today is going to be an interruption-filled day, so I'll find something that fits that timing more, you know, small tasks here and there, maybe a couple of testing tasks that you can tick things off lists, that sort of thing. So there are times when there are tasks that suit just dropping in and dropping out, but some of the main tasks that you would do, you need that period of time, I think. I would say there is a flip side to it, though, because I certainly have had many occasions where you can just sit there on a task for a while, and one thing it's crying out for you to do is just to get up, go away, take a break, come back, and you'll find that whatever you've been puzzling on for an hour or so just suddenly comes to light. So I think there is a limit to that kind of, you know, head down. If you're on one single task, sometimes just getting up and walking away makes a big difference. Just to come back with some fresh eyes or a bit of a refreshed attitude or whatever, that helps a lot. And I find myself doing that quite a lot. You know, you'll come back and the answer's staring you right in the face, but you just haven't seen it.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And do you... You've heard of like the flow state and stuff, right? I'm always really interested in that, but and it's something that just kind of, I don't think anyone nailed it on how to achieve flow state, but we've all been there, you know, we've all been there where we just kind of look back and thought, Jesus, I can't believe I actually managed to do that, you know, and, you know, whether it be whatever you're into, sports, you know, development, whatever it is, creatively getting into that flow state, you know, I wish we could kind of emulate that. Do you feel that you kind of get into those states more regularly because of the work that's kind of demanded on you, or is it kind of one of those things where on a rare occasion you do feel that you're in that kind of in the zone?
I think you do feel that you're in the zone sometimes. I find that sometimes you will try and get in there and for some reason something's not clicking, so I think it's almost a state of mind sometimes. You know, if with all best intention, you could go in to try and do that and you just can't get in there. But I feel if you know, I find kind of writing lists helps focus, making sure you've planned out in the morning what you're going to do that day also helps focus. Those sort of things, just if you do get an interruption, at least you can get back on and pick up from where you left off.
I'm also really curious as well whether that kind of step into the more management responsibilities was kind of a difficult transition, maybe because you know, we've talked about, the ability to get things done is probably a little bit easier when you don't have as many of the management responsibilities. But I suppose, was that something that you you enjoyed when you got to that kind of position?
Yeah. I like the work at the development side a lot, and I like the kind of troubleshooting and kind of dealing with the quality side. So making sure that the quality of output is decent, and I feel like I have a lot to offer that side as well. So when I took the first kind of lead role, it was just a more mentor the other people up and train them up, and then it just evolved really from there. And it's something definitely, it's enjoyable. I mean, you're right, it can drain time away from just getting on and doing the pure development, but you get so much rewards on the other side.
And it's something that it's kind of a whole new skill set, isn't it? You know, when you start kind of managing people, and it's like a new job. It's like taking on a new job, or at least 50% of it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think as well, you've got to be open to what they're saying to you, because you can't know everything at all. So we rely on our other developers to tell us, to tell me if we're going down a path, or, you know, they are involved in all of the decisions that we do, so that we can choose the best path for us, and the best path personally for us as a more of an enjoyable route. So if somebody suggests a great technology, we'll take a look and we'll go with it if it's something we do. I think that's part of it, is to try and get them to, you know, to make sure that they have that voice.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting the freedom, and the real value in people is, I think, what the secret is to it as well. I think that so many people are probably underutilized on teams because management has their kind of way of doing things. Whereas if you kind of allow them to feel they have the freedom, their opinions and their thoughts, and you just help refine those, surely that's the better way to work, especially in like a creative environment such as yours.
Yeah, I think we're quite fortunate actually, because we do we get a lot more exposure than maybe you would in other teams. You know, we can set the direction of our technology. We can you know, query things, or even think, you know, we've got a great idea here, why don't we just go with it and then present it and then see. So we produce a prototype, we'll show it to the other guys and the business and see what they think. And we have that freedom. Obviously, we've got our deadlines to hit as well, but there is scope, freedom, and there's plenty of other departments that we're working with, so we do have the variety as well, which I think is really key.
Yeah, I think so. And was that, you know, something that you kind of worked on particularly?
I think it's kind of going with how I would like to be led, or how I would like my manager to be. So I try and be like that. I try to be kind of open, give people as much freedom and scope to do what they need to do within some guidelines. Those guidelines depend on the project, really. Some designs we get will be very rigid. This is exactly what we need to do. And others have got some grey areas or some bit of room to grow. And to me, that's always been really appealing, you know, getting something you have a bit more creativity about, rather than this is exactly what I need and this is how we need to do it. So we don't try and lean on too much of how to do something, or, you know, we've got our co-quality that we want to hit, we've got our deadlines that we want to hit, and then the bit in between is where we discuss and we'll decide the way forward together.
Do you think that, I suppose from your experience as well, you were kind of gravitated towards projects or organisations that you were yourself interested in and compelled by? And does that play a role, do you think, in you know, how people are engaged and motivated by projects?
Yeah, I think you have to have some interest. I've worked on projects where it hasn't been massively interesting, but you know, I've found interest from within it. You know, there are certain areas I could maybe use a different technique, and there are other projects that, you know, that someone's just uninterested, but you think this is only for, you know, a couple of weeks or a month, we'll get it done and we move on to the next interesting thing that I've got after that. I think there's always tasks that aren't going to be that interesting, always projects that are not going to be that interesting, but providing there's at least a good steady stream of interesting stuff, or you know the direction that you're going in is an interesting direction, I think that's quite motivating.
Yeah, I think so. So for you personally, have you always been more of kind of the techie, so to speak, guy, or have you always just been interested in, like, I suppose more about the outcomes? You know, is it the technology that you're working with, or I suppose the you know, what the actual outcomes are? What and where? And I suppose what was your kind of start with regards to that?
My interest has always been kind of the end result to a degree, as in I can make your, and certainly when I was starting out, it was I can make your life easier. I can shave 2 hours off of your day by automating some of your tasks. Look at me doing this, if you like. And for me to put those things in place, and that always brought me great joy, because you can certainly see the end result. You know, that person's really happy. They can move on and do so much more. I think that's what probably pushed me more down the development route, was that, you know, look at what we can achieve using development. But I've always had an eye on the kind of the end user's experience. So I feel like I have a small amount of creativity on that side that maybe you won't get it from everyone. But I've always liked that end result. I've always liked the we've done it, look what we've got, look what we've achieved approach.
Yeah, I get that a lot, and I can relate to that much more than the people who are just interested in kind of the technology. And I think that in today's kind of day and age, the way that technical jobs have changed, you need to be more that way inclined.
Yeah, I mean, we do like people to obviously be interested in the tech one, but the problem with some of that is that you can create the most beautiful piece of code, and it will probably work the same as a not great piece of code. So the outcome is all important, and it's a happy medium between the most fantastically piece of code and the other one. But yeah, we look for people who, you know, have got that kind of thing. Very much, I want to do a good job. I'm looking to do the best I can, and I'm excited about what I do. And you know, if there's a problem, I'm disappointed that there's a problem. Those kind of traits, you know, they can take ownership and really take feeling from what they're doing.
Yeah, I think so. And it's not always easy to get those kind of people, you know, self-starters, people who are motivated by that. But with that being said, I certainly think that for whatever reason, technical people seem to be a little bit more inclined to be that way, and almost kind of neural in that sense, and that kind of way of thinking, much more so than, you know, some of the other industries that I've certainly been involved with and roles within that. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because there's so many. You could go home and you could start an online business doing something straight away with the skills that you have. You know, if you're more back end than front end, there's plenty of themes out there that will put your site together. If you want to target a certain, you know, thing, you can really literally go and create anything you want. You can set your direction. So I think that makes a big difference. Whereas if I was perhaps in a you know, maybe I'm in some kind of learning capacity. You could probably do some learning videos and put them online, but the barrier is, and the enjoyment people get out of the development, I think, helps. But I think it's just so easy to go and do that, that I think people do it. That's why people do it.
I'd be interested to see what the kind of the next generation of people and how they'll approach things. I would assume it would almost become like necessary for people to start learning how to code.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of developers probably also have a pet project on the go to learn a technology, and it's so easy for that pet project to grow, evolve to something that maybe is actually really good. And they think, well, just let's get that out there. But it'd be interesting to see what also happens to like universities and stuff like that, because with the back end, front end technologies kind of merging a little bit. What are the graduates of tomorrow going to look like? I wonder.
I'm convinced that, you know, certainly the next 10 or 10 years, we will see significant change in the way the education system is set up now. Because, you know, you know it all too well. You're hiring someone now. What important is it for them to have a degree versus, like, actually just being able to do the job? Like, and who really kind of cares that much about it anymore? Like, where you went or the degree you had? It's like, well, what are your skills?
Yeah, I mean, we don't look at all. Well, we obviously look and see who's got what qualifications they have, but a person with or without a degree makes no odds to when we're recruiting. And I have a degree, and I absolutely love my degree. And, you know, I think it made me a better developer, gave me a good, really good foundation. But, you know, I don't see that as being a necessity. I think people can, there's so many online resources these days that are absolutely fantastic. That you can learn and get really good and really good base skills, I think, without going to university.
And when you kind of look forward now, you know, speaking of technical skills and upskilling constantly, is that something that you have to really take into consideration now? Is like what to learn next? You know, technically to make sure that you kind of stay relevant. Is that something that I suppose goes through a lot of developers' minds at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. There are so many different things, and you hear about, you know, framework X is dead and long live framework Y. And so I tend not to try and jump around too much and just learn everything that's out there, because I don't feel that I can then, you know, be proficient on any of them. But I think the ones you choose a good couple to learn and to make sure that you know about it, as well as keeping tabs on the market in general. But I think some of the technology choices we've made here have been based on that. You know, we've seen the way the market's going, we've seen what we're doing and think, well, you know, that's a better prospect for us. So let's get on, learn that and bring it and bring it forward. And one of the last things we brought forward actually was just a pet project I was working on at home, just to make sure my skills were up to date. And 6 months later, I felt, you know, we should get this in. We should be using this here. And so we did. I think that's only possible if you're keeping up to date. Otherwise, you just get left behind.
It's got to be hard to find the time, you know, to take on these projects, though.
It is, yeah, and because you tend to be doing them quite late at night, because it is just a kind of a passion project. But I think maybe this is like the developer mindset, is that the chase or the journey to get there, you're so invested in wanting to learn it, you're so passionate about and interested in what it is, that motivates you so much more to get beyond it. It takes a lot of time, but it's not time wasted. It's enjoyable, and it's not a chore. And if it's a chore, then it tends to fall away. But it's never a chore. It's always it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's the important thing. And I think if it wasn't, you wouldn't do it. And I think that's kind of stands for any role. The enjoyment factor has to be there enough. Otherwise, chances are you won't progress and be good at it. I think that's just true for everything, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when the enjoyment goes, that does pose a challenge. I think what I find is if that ever does happen, then try and do like maybe move on to another project that has something that's a bit more interesting or has something that can really get you back up again.
And I think that, you know, when I look at technical people, I think a lot of people look at them and feel quite jealous, because it's kind of a lot of people who tend to be doing a job that they would have done even if it wasn't a career option, you know, and that's certainly a luxury that not a lot of people probably have.
Yeah, it is a luxurious job in terms of, you know, you can turn up, you can sit wherever you want to sit, you can interact with people, you can not interact with people. There's such a variety of tasks that you can do, and you've got a kind of demonstrable outwards end result a lot of times. So it is a really good thing. You know, you can say this is actually what we've done. This is what I've worked on today. This is what we've achieved. And I think not all jobs have that. And it's good about being a developer, I think.
I agree. Well, I'm jealous anyway. I think I've kept you for, Vince, I could actually go on for ages, I think, as you probably guessed, but I'm obviously conscious to not keep you for too long. But kind of a fun thing that I'm always interested in, you know, I'm kind of into my technology, I'm sure you are. When you look at all the innovations within technology that are happening at the moment, what is it for you that kind of stands out and you are, like, you know, super excited to see coming pretty soon?
Wow. I'm still excited by a lot of the JavaScript frameworks and the evolution and the constant progression of those. But I'm also interested in all the latest .NET side of things as well, to see how they're evolving that. But how everything is working together, I find really interesting, that the barriers between these kind of massive organizations, while they do still exist, they certainly seem to be kind of falling, and people are more interested in how they can play nicely with other vendors, rather than it being, you're on this platform, therefore I don't want you to use this piece of technology. That it seems to be all of those barriers are coming down, and people are trying to play nice with each other, and I think that's really good. I think I'd like to see how that progresses.
Interesting. I think so too. I couldn't agree more. I think there's so much to probably go at, but you know, from a practical sense, it's really compelling. And I'm big onto the blockchain stuff at the moment as well. I just watched the documentary last night again, so I'm like trying to work that one out and see whether what's happening in that space as well. But we shall see.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website venturi-group.com and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.